When I came back last week, I got a whole lot of different sorts of questions from many parts of the organization. But two of the most frequent were about what did I think about the iron ore price? And the other one was, of course, what I thought about the oil price. So I thought this week I'd talk about the iron ore price and a little bit about the Chinese economy. And next week I'd talk about the oil price. So one of the things that's disturbed people about the Chinese economy in the last week is the fact that the PMI numbers came in below 50. But, last week I pointed out that in fact the Chinese PMIs are calibrated differently than where the PMIs were originally invented to talk about, and that was in Europe. And if we look at, for example, the French PMI, when it's below 50, yes, the French manufacturing sector is contracting. Or if you look at the German PMI, when it's below 50, the German manufacturing sector is contracting. But in China, when they started publishing the PMIs, growth was around about 10%. So they thought the lowest they'd ever get down to was a growth of around about 6.5%. So 50 on the Chinese PMI is equivalent to growth of about 6.5%. So the fact that the PMIs fell, manufacturing PMIs fell to levels of 49.4 in China in December, and 49.5 most recent month, doesn't mean that the Chinese manufacturing sector is contracting. In fact, it's growing at rates which would be extraordinarily high by other standard of other countries. And we know this because the industrial production report for the Chinese economy was released the week before the PMI, and that showed that for the most recent period, Chinese industrial production had been growing at an annual rate of 5.7%, which would be incredibly high if that was the growth rate in Germany, or if that was the growth rate in France, or if that was the growth rate in the United States. But of particular interest for Australian exports of iron ore to China, it's really fascinating where the growth is, because if we look at the manufacture of ferrous metals, that is to say iron and steel, in that area of production is up 9.2%. And interestingly, manufacture of non-ferrous metals was up even more strongly at 13.2%. So the area that we're actually exporting to is one of the boom areas of the Chinese economy. It is interesting to note, though, and before I just actually talk about the iron ore model, I will point out that what's really interesting is there are actual areas of weakness in Chinese manufacturing. And there are areas that have no effect on Australian exports, but have really big effects on German exports. And that is, there has been a devastating slump in activity in motor vehicle production. So automobile vehicle production is down 15% in the last year, and that's millions of vehicles in China. And passenger cars production is down 17%. And because one of the countries most heavily participating in that sector in China is Germany, that's kind of explains, if you see that slump in motor vehicle activity, manufacturing activity in China, you can see why there's this big slump right now in the German economy. Moving to our iron ore model, the iron ore model we show in every quarter, and in three and a bit weeks' time, you'll see the next quarterly presentation in which we'll update the iron ore model at that time. It's one of the better commodity models we've got, amazingly. It explains a bit over 70% of monthly variation. And what drives it is Chinese steel production, which we've just said is really strong in a year-on-year basis, and the level of iron ore stocks at port. And what we find is it's a pretty this is a staggeringly large industry in China. So the lags between the variables that we've got of steel production, which means iron ore consumption, and stocks at port are really quite long. They're kind of 2 to 3 quarters to the to have their maximum effect on the price. Now, the Chinese steel production, when we look at a chart of it, and you can see this in the quarterly, and you'll see this in the next quarterly, is staggeringly high in comparison to where it was last year or the year before. And the expansion of steel production in China is the biggest we've got in the data for this century, apart from the expansion of Chinese steel production and iron ore demand in the period immediately after the global financial crisis. I went to a couple of presentations by other economic groups about where they thought this was going to go this year, and they thought there would be a heavy decline in production at the end of the year, and they were wrong. What's actually happening after reaching an all-time record of 82.5 million tons of steel production a month in October, the level of the seasonal decline of Chinese steel production from that level is only about 6 million tons a month. So that's far higher. That's about 13 million tons a month higher than the same period last year. So this is really, Chinese steel production is incredibly strong, and therefore iron ore demand is incredibly strong. And one of the things that's resulted in the reduction in iron ore stocks at port, but how the model works is the level of steel production, that is to say iron ore consumption relative to those level of stocks, and that gives you a stocks to consumption ratio, like every other model that's about commodities that has been done since 1965. And that means that in spite of the fact there's a very slight slowdown, seasonal slowdown in Chinese steel production, the slump in stocks to consumption ratio, which we talked about at the end of last year, has been maintained at a very, very low level, and that means upward pressure on iron ore prices in China for the next, right through next year. The equilibrium price we now have is $75 a tonne, and we expect that iron ore price model estimate to rise during the year. I know that because of Vale, the price has been trading higher than that level. To the extent that Vale does affect this model, what will happen is lower iron ore deliveries from Vale to China will reduce the level of stocks to consumption ratio, and particularly stocks of iron ore at port, and that will drive the model higher. But the real effect of that upon the structure of iron ore demand in China and the price of iron ore, if the sustainable price of iron ore, won't be felt until at least the middle of this year and the second half of next year. And what I think what you're going to have is very well sustained and high prices of iron ore through the year.